Welcome to another episode of Three Plastic Surgeons and a Fourth. We have Dr. Sam Tajurkar, as always, from Dallas, Texas. Dr. Salvatore Pacella from San Diego, California. Our newest host, Dr. Lawrence Tong from Toronto, Canada. And I am Dr. Sam Ree from Paramus, New Jersey. And this episode is going to talk about something that we don't talk about very often. This was from a PopSugar.com article recently that was titled, Depression is a Side Effect of Plastic Surgery That We Don't Talk About. This is something that was very interesting to all four of us as we were discussing it before the broadcast. And before we get into it, though, let's go ahead and start with our disclaimer, as always.
This show is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The show is for informational purposes only. Treatment and results may vary based upon the circumstances, situation, and medical judgment after appropriate discussion. Always seek the advice of a surgeon or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding medical care. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking advice because of something in the show.
Now, cosmetic surgery, especially elective plastic surgery, is something that you would think any patient who undergoes would be thrilled to have when it goes well. However, there is a phenomenon that I'm sure all of us have seen called post-plastic surgery depression, which is more prevalent than you may think. And recent studies have shown that a significant number of patients will have depressed feelings after either undergoing a breast augmentation, facelift, rhinoplasty, or other cosmetic procedures, where they feel anxious, sad, or depressed initially after having had a procedure done, regardless of how great that outcome is. And this is something that seems a little, counterintuitive. Yeah. I was going to say counter something. No. Counterintuitive. And yeah. And so let me ask all three of you, what is your experience with post-plastic surgery depression, and how do you approach that?
Let me start, because I actually want to ask you guys two questions. One, how prevalent do you think this is, and how long do you think it typically lasts? I'll say that in my patient population, I think that probably 60 or 70% of my patients that don't have pre-existing anxiety or depression experience considerable emotional changes in about a six-week span, up to about 6 weeks after surgery. That's what my experience is. But I've never asked any other plastic surgeon what they will say.
How do you define that? I guess if you say patients feeling anxious after surgery, yeah, that's a very high number. And I think that it's sort of natural, because it's not something that they're used to going through, having a surgical procedure. I think it's not maybe limited to just cosmetic surgery, any kind of surgery. You're going to have some anxiousness, maybe some depression. So I would agree with you, maybe like 60% people feel that way. But how do you define that, or what are you seeing?
You know, people being tearful, just being emotionally exhausted. There's some minor degree of buyer's remorse where they can't believe they made decisions that got them into the situation where they couldn't move around well after surgery, or their face looked so swollen after surgery, where even though they knew that they would probably get the outcomes that they were going to want and before and after pictures that they would want, that they have some emotionally strong reaction that, at least for a transient period of time, made them regret that decision. I see that a lot.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say 60 or 70%, but definitely a good half, I would say. This is particularly, I think, in my patients who I do eyelid or facelift surgery, because I think they're not, regardless of the teaching we do, my nursing staff is exceptional. I think I do a really good job of trying to explain and set expectations about the recovery. Quite honestly, they're just not prepared for it sometimes, or they're not hearing what we're saying. And, you tell me it's going to be 3 months before I look normal, I'm going to be the exception. I've always healed well, you know. And this is particularly problematic, I think, in patients who are type A or control of their environment quite a bit. Definitely see that very commonly.
For me, I would agree somewhere in the half to two thirds range of patients. And you're right. I think there are two sort of aspects to this. The first one is, as Larry had mentioned, and you, Sam, that, you know, you have these initial post-surgical changes with the swelling, with the, you know, all these initial changes where you look all jacked up, honestly, initially. And those are hard to deal with right after a procedure, even though you know intellectually that these are transient changes and recovery will happen and you will look better. A lot of people are anxious about that. The second part, which I think is actually more interesting to me sometimes, is that acceptance of change of body image. And this happens, one, because people get plastic surgery to change something about their body, whether it's their face, their breasts, their belly, whatever it is. And changing that can psychologically affect people in a pretty dramatic way. You have to gain acceptance of that new image. You have to reconcile that with the fact that you made that choice to change that image. You might feel guilty that you changed your image and you decided to do this, as Sam mentioned. And so dealing with that brings a lot of depressive feelings. You can have insomnia. You can have sadness. You can have self-doubt. You can be looking at yourself saying, is this me now? Especially patients who've had, I've seen that in rhinoplasty. I've seen that in breast augmentation, where they're looking at themselves and being like, wow, look at me. Like, is this, I chose this. Is this what I wanted? Is this what I'm supposed to look like? And that kind of wrestling with yourself can be challenging. That can take months for some people to either learn to accept. And I don't know if you've ever seen anyone not fully accept it. I think I've seen maybe one or two or a couple in my career. But those are dramatic changes that people have to accept.
Yeah, it's usually on the face if you're going to get that kind of thing. That's what I found. You know, you'll do like a rhinoplasty on somebody and it looks perfectly fine and they look better. But and when what they notice sometimes is so minor that nobody else can see it except them. And sometimes it just makes it very difficult to manage. I think that with time, like you said, they eventually will accept. You just have to support them through that. I don't know if I've had anybody who's never accepted it, but yeah, occasionally that does happen. I agree with you.
I see it a bit in fat transfer. You know, it's such a dramatic post-operative recovery for the first couple of weeks that, you know, patients just wonder what they signed up for. But
fat transfer to the face?
To the face, yeah. You know, the temple, the cheek, mm-hmm. eyelids. And I think, you know, I over or under promise and over deliver. And I tell them how bad they're going to look, how bad, how thick their skin is going to look, how puffy it's going to look. And, you know, it's just, unless you're experiencing it, I think it's very difficult for patients to grasp, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I like Sam's explanation about sort of just people having to accept the way that they look now, because I've never really thought of it that way. I've always sort of associated it with the sort of the temporary dysfunction or the temporary, you know, pain or loss of income and that sort of stuff. But yeah, that on the face in particular, I think that change in the way your appearance is going to be can really sort of contribute to that. So I guess my question then is, do you guys do anything special to try to support people during this time? Or what advice do you guys give to patients to try to get through this period of time? Because, you know, I tell people that I think it's going to happen. We spend some time talking about, we even have a handout in our office that we've given people the entire time I've been in practice that talks about emotional reactions after surgery. But I have yet to actually come up with any strategies to eliminate this from happening in people. Have you guys had success with anything that you do?
Some of it depends on how deep you're willing to get to know a patient and how willing a patient is to open up to you. So, you know, patients will come to you for all sorts of different reasons why they're having procedures done. And sometimes they're willing to disclose exactly, like truthfully, what those reasons are. And sometimes they're not. And so what their motivations and what their expectations are, it's sometimes opaque to us. I mean, we can see if they're physically ready, if we believe that we can affect the change that they want, like what they're describing to us. But without really sort of digging into their underlying motivations for why they're doing these things, sometimes it's really hard to prepare them for what they're going to expect afterwards. And so I think I try to not be too invasive in terms of their privacy, but I do look for, you know, red flags. Maybe their motivation is not something that comes from within, but is external. Maybe this is something that wasn't fully reasoned out for a long period of time, but is more of a snap judgment type of situation. Those are the type of situations where I might have more of an open dialogue. I might talk to them a little bit more. I might try to find out more of their underlying reasons why they're considering a procedure. But you're right. This is something that I think we don't address proactively enough, Sam. And I think you're 100% right with that.
I try one strategy I think that's helped, at least for my face patients, is, you know, my normal operating room days are Mondays and Tuesdays, give or take a few days. And when I do one of these face procedures early in the week, I try to see them every day the first week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I think, you know, if we can get a handle on, you know, showing them that they're going to be okay, telling them they're going to be okay, and doing that repeatedly and checking in with them repeatedly, I think that's exceptionally helpful. It does take a lot of resources and holding hands, but I think it's absolutely worth it.
You're just referring to patients who exhibit those more extreme symptoms that you would see them.
No. I prophylactically do that for every single facelift patient or
them every day.
Really?
Yeah, I see them. Damn. Pretty much every day, you know, either myself or my nursing staff, you know.
And they're okay coming in every single day?
Yeah, for the most part. And, you know, by the end of the week, so let's say we do this on a Monday, by the time I've seen them on Wednesday, you know, I think they're pretty much okay by what I'm telling them. If you're not feeling up to it, we could see you again on Friday, check in with you before the weekend, or happy to see you tomorrow. And I think just the willingness to get them through this is a big, big plus for them. So I think it's helpful.
Are there any warning signs or things that you identify? Will particular age be more likely to potentially have post-plastic surgery depression? You mentioned certain procedures which might sort of tend to trip it off, like face-type procedures. Are there any other things that might sort of make you think I really need to be more aware in this particular situation of an issue potentially?
I think like what you had said, Sam, you had alluded to a lot of, you know, patient selections, speaking to them, getting to know them. So if, you know, if somebody comes in and thinks that some procedure is really going to change their life, I think that's a warning sign. Somebody who has a history of, you know, body dysmorphia is probably higher risk for that. You know, patients who have cosmetic surgery are self-selected to be conscious about their appearance. So I think that maybe, you know, cosmetic surgery patients might have a higher likelihood of, you know, of having these symptoms. But I think it is difficult. But I think that, you know, as you get experience speaking to a lot of patients, sometimes you can just tell that this patient might not be able to handle a complication, you know, if it happens, or if the surgery isn't perfectly done, it might not handle it. You just have to be honest and just say, you know, maybe I'm not going to be able to help you the way that I want, that you would want me to help you.
I think
it's hard. Sometimes it just comes out of the blue, you know, people who you would never think would have this do have these symptoms.
I think one of the things I've seen is if a patient has very poor communication with those around them, you know, I'm sure you've seen that patient's like, I don't want my husband to know. I don't want my friends to know. I don't want anyone to know. I want this to be a complete secret and hide it. That to me, I always, I want to ask them, yeah. Why is that? Why are you not owning this? Why are you not being, you know, disclosing this to others, especially those close to you, not to everyone, but those close to you? What is
I just tell them that's not possible. How are you going to hide something from your husband that you live with?
I'm not saying it's reasonable, but just that intention or that emotion that they have about it, to me, that's a warning sign that maybe they're not emotionally ready, or maybe their expectations are not realistic. As you said, how can you literally hide some of these types of procedures or the effects of some of these procedures?
You know, we all had a mentor named Hack Newman, who none of our listeners, or very few of our listeners, would know who that is, but all had a pretty big impact on us. And I remember people would ask him how long it would take, before they'd be recovered from their surgery, a facelift, for instance. And he would sort of say, you'll be socially acceptable in like 3 weeks. And the thing is, I think that's what I always would try to tell people is you're going to be socially acceptable after your facelift to go out in two or three weeks. You're not going to look like you didn't have had surgery. Like, people are going to know that you look different. It's impossible for you to hide this unless you go to a third world nation where nobody knows you, convert to a very traditional form of Islam where you're wearing like a full, burqa and your face is covered, but it's impossible to hide this and you just need to get over it.
One of my friends and colleagues, Lou Bucky out of Pennsylvania, he has a different way of saying this. He tells patients, after 3 weeks, you can go to your third favorite restaurant. And I think that's really, his point is that, they're not going to remember if I say 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, but they'll remember the restaurant comment. And I thought that was brilliant. I mean, I've been using that ever since I heard it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to steal that one for me for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Me too. I love that.
Some of the other suggestions from this article include trying to get patients back into their normal routine as fast as is reasonably possible in terms of eating, talking to people. They might suggest other kind of foofier things like journaling or deep breathing, which might help some people in terms of coping during the acute post-op period. Ultimately, I think as plastic surgeons, for me, it's really about them placing their trust in me and having confidence that we're going to see this through. And as long as I feel like they had a good vision and goal to begin with, and that's really the hard part, I think, as plastic surgeons, is weeding out people whose plans or goals are not sort of in concert with mine, then, or what I can technically achieve, then, then generally things will go well. But it can be very tricky sometimes with some people.
Have any of you guys ever sent any of these patients to like other mental health care professionals?
Are you calling us mental health care professionals?
What?
We are mental health care professionals, yeah. Actually.
No.
To some degree.
I've never sent anyone to like a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Going back to what you were saying, Sam, in terms of doing things to try to get people back to their routine a little bit faster, I send kind of all of my patients, both body and facial ones, to try to, to estheticians postoperatively for lymphatic massage, for instance, even for like face and neck lift patients. I find that lymphatic massage is helpful to get their swelling down faster. Estheticians can talk to them about camouflage makeup, because I think once people can at least go to their third favorite restaurant afterwards, they see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And then the trust aspect that you're talking about is a lot easier. It's not, they can actually trust us with some sort of tangible evidence that they can trust us. So I do that, and that usually helps quite a bit. That's who I usually send almost all of my patients to.
I think one of the things that I always try to keep in mind is that it takes a tremendous amount. It takes a leap of faith to say, I'm going to let this person take a knife and cut on my face or on my body. And in every other circumstance in life, it either has to be a life-threatening or a very serious circumstance, right? You have a cancer, you have heart disease that, blocked arteries, a tumor. Like, we are the only ones where someone will come to us and say, I don't like the way I look. I trust you to cut on me and make it better. And that takes a certain mindset. You could call it a crazy mindset. You could call it a leap of faith mindset. You could call it, but whatever it is, these people have decided that the benefit of doing something outweighs the risk. Okay. And so that is a huge responsibility that we have. But it also means that these are people that are also at risk for being upset afterwards for any reason. Because if you take that leap of faith and you go for it, for whatever reason, results aren't what you expected. There's a lot of, you know, that it's a really rocky recovery. You look different than what you might have envisioned yourself to be. Or even that the fact that you just look different, period. Those are huge issues that these patients have to confront.
Just to shift gears a little bit here, I want to ask you three a question. You know, you're doing these operations all the time. You're in your office, you're kind of in a zone, whatever. You ever just sit back during an operation and look to yourself and say, holy crap, I just peeled this entire person's face apart and now I'm about to put it back together? Do you ever just like sit back and say, wow, like it's rare that like I feel that or notice that. Every once in a while, I just kind of sit back and say, I can't believe we just did that.
Absolutely.
I notice it at the end of the case. Yeah. Like when they're all done, I think about that.
No, yeah. I absolutely.
Pretty
and
cool.
Feeling. I can't think that too long because then it's like, it's too overwhelming. I'm like, oh shit, I better just keep moving here because if I just stop and dwell on it, it's going to freeze me up. Like anything, like if you're in the middle of something and you're in flow state, you can't stop and be like, oh man, I am dunking this basketball or I'm hitting a friggin' awesome shot like in golf. Like the more you have to almost like push that conscious thought out and stay in the unconscious and let that flow state take you back over, because you're right. When I do that and it does happen, I'm like, I'll freeze. I can't think about that. Anyway, thank you very much, gentlemen. That was an amazing conversation. I really enjoyed that. And I hope that that does benefit people in terms of how they might be feeling after surgery and also to prepare for it a little bit and think about that. As always, you can check out our website, 3 Plastic Surgery Podcast, where you can get all our episodes. We're on all the big podcast sites. And you can check out all of our Instagram accounts. Dr. Lawrence Tong is at Yorkville Surgery. Dr. Sal Pichella is at San Diego Plastic Surgery, right? And San Diego Plastic Surgeon. And Dr. Sam Tajurikar is at Sam Tajurikar. I did those all by memory, so I'm very proud of myself right now.
Okay. Anyway. Well, you got mine wrong. It's fine.
And Dr. Reese is at Bergen Cosmetic.
Mine's at Bergen Cosmetic. What is yours, Larry? What is it?
At Yorkville Plastic Surgery.
Yorkville Plastic Surgery. Thank you very much. So until next time, thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a great day.